to visit with Tommy Dees, executive sports editor with Tide Sports, along with the Tuscaloosa News. Tommy, as always, we appreciate you. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. All right, so through the first three games, I know it's early. You know, there's still plenty of football yet to be played. But more and more, this year's team, for as far as Alabama is concerned, it kind of reminds me, since there's going to be a new Rocky coming out, well, involving Apollo Creed's son and Ivan Drago's son, it kind of reminds me, this Alabama team, of Ivan Drago before he got beat by Rocky. You know, invincible, nobody could touch him, he's not a man. This may be very... I'm trying to think of some of the best college football teams I've witnessed in my lifetime. This team has the potential to be just that.
They're very good right now, but I think you can look at the level of opposition and say they haven't proven, they haven't been tested. So we'll see what they are. They certainly look very, very good on offense. Now, you know, quite frankly, I don't think they look as good on defense. Not that they're bad, but as the best Alabama teams we've seen in recent years. So, you know, that's a consideration too. They're actually giving up 101 yards per game on the ground, and that's the highest number I remember since like 2007. I'd have to look it up. Maybe I'm forgetting a year somewhere, but that's characteristically they're more like 40 or 50. So, you know, it's not perfect, but, you know, on the other hand, they're leading the nation in scoring. 56.7 points per game, and the starters haven't really played like more than a half in any of those games.
I don't know.
Imagine if they had turned Tua loose in the second half last week.
Well, exactly. And I've had conversations with coaches over the years, some that went on to Hall of Fame status. And we, you know, when I have these chats, I bring up things just out of the blue. And one of those was, if you're a team like, say, Ole Miss last week, one of the worst things that you can do, not only for your team, but also wake up the sleeping giant on the other side of the field, is to have a huge play to start a game like that. Because, first of all, it gets you out of sync as a team, because all of a sudden your emotions get out of check, thinking, hey, look what we just did, and instead of playing your game. At the same time, it wakes up the secondary, especially for Alabama, and that's it. No more scoring for Ole Miss the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to talk to those Hall of Fame coaches and see how many times they took a knee on the first play.
But, you know, you're lulling, you know, here's the thing. Just slowly.
Put their headset down if their team scored.
No, but getting them into the game where, you know, a screen pass here, a run there, maybe a methodical drive. But when you hit somebody big with a play like that, you know, everybody understands now, hey, we've got a ball game here.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to make Mike Tyson mad if you're...
Exactly.
You'd rather lull him to sleep. But on the other hand, yeah, they threw that play. That was not an accidental. They were going to throw deep on that first play and you know, wherever they had man-to-man. And, you know, they wanted to test Alabama's secondary. And I heard Matt Luke today on the SEC call, and, you know, they had one on their next play, their next offensive snap after Alabama answered that score in, like, three plays. They threw deep, and they thought they had a guy, and Deontay Thompson or somebody came over the top and knocked it down. And they thought that was a chance, and they wanted to get Alabama in a, you know, the only way they were going to win, and they weren't going to win, but the only theoretical way they were going to win was to get Alabama in a shootout. And you can't get in a shootout if you don't score, and you just hope it's a back-and-forth game and you score last kind of thing. And they really didn't have the firepower to do that, as you saw. But they were hoping maybe Alabama's still young in the secondary, that they could – they've gotten Alabama in that tight game before, but not with the talent level they have now compared to Alabama. Those receivers are still real good, but they don't have a line quite like they did. They certainly don't have any defense.
You know, since the start of 2008, every regular season game for Alabama, except for those three in the month of November in 2010, national championship implications this week, no different. Does anybody have to remind you, and it doesn't even matter, but sometimes if you need just that extra log on the fire from a motivational standpoint, does anybody need to be reminded of the last time Bama lost at home?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think they trot that out and show them film from, you know, from a few years ago or whatever.
Because they lose, they lose the Ole Miss game in 15, but before that it was, you know, Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M in 2012. So basically we're talking about 35 wins in the last 36 contests in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and I don't think you trot out a film from when the current seniors were freshmen and the other players weren't even here to make that point. I think they make that point in other ways. They talk about playing to a standard and, you know, don't worry about what the opponent is. I mean, I think the Ole Miss game was a perfect example of that. They didn't play down to Ole Miss in any way whatsoever. They didn't get up, you know, 35-7 and think, okay, we can let our foot off the gas. They said, let's put our foot on their throat, and they did. And had he not substituted very liberally, you'll never convince me Alabama couldn't have scored 100 if it wanted to. It would have been 100 and whatever to 7.
You know, it's interesting. We were looking at all the matchups as far as coming up this weekend in the SEC yesterday, and something just really stood out to me when we talk about this prolonged success for Alabama since the start of 2008, how things can change quickly for other programs. We talked about the fact that Nebraska and Tennessee hasn't been relevant for years. We talk about, you know, what's happening with Florida State through these first three games and how quickly all of a sudden you're no longer part of the national picture. I bring it up because Arkansas, now the worst team in the SEC, back in the latter part of November in 2011, they were ranked third in the country behind LSU and Alabama. It just goes to show you how quickly you can become not really important on the national landscape.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alabama's really the only constant since about 2008 when Alabama was number one going into the SEC championship game against Florida and lost. But, you know, look at the contenders that have come and gone. I mean, Florida was an elite program, almost kind of its own dynasty at that time. They're on their fourth coach since then. That's not that long ago. And you look at, remember Texas was good, and now they're losing to Maryland twice in a row. And Florida State, you know, has been a contender and won a championship, and now they're on Skid Row. And LSU, last I saw them, they were staggering down Bourbon Street in 2011. They've had decent teams, but they haven't been national contenders. And, you know, all these teams I'm mentioning and several more have had that 1 or 2 years or 3 years where they were up at the top, and then they can't maintain it while Alabama has maintained it. You could have seen Alabama winning in 2009 and falling down to 10 wins in, you know, 2010 and kind of been an 8, 9, 10-win team. Clemson looks like a real deal, and Georgia looks like the real deal. But can they maintain it for a decade? That's a whole different matter.
You know what the sobering stat and fact is? If you want to get Alabama in the near future, you better get them this year. And once again, this is a team that set the record for the only team in SEC history to score 50 or more points in their first three games. Because if you don't get them this year, they're only going to be better next year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. By this time next year, or at least the offseason next year, we will have seen, I suspect, a lot of guys go to the NFL, and you'll be replacing a lot of key components, and there'll be some area like the secondary. I mean, they lost both safeties, both corners, nickel and dime, and all those guys are on NFL rosters. I think a couple of them are on practice squads, but every single one of them is somewhere in the NFL. And the guys that are playing now, we're not on the field very much. Some of them are not on the field at all. So a couple of them aren't even here yet. And then you look at it and you say, wow, they looked pretty good last week. Best thing could have happened to Alabama secondary-wise is the early schedule. And it wasn't designed this way. They didn't look that far ahead and say, let's play this, that, and the other. But Louisville, Arkansas State, and Ole Miss are very pass-oriented teams, and they all approach it very, very differently. So this secondary has gotten kind of to grow up real fast and see a lot of different things and in some cases make a few mistakes that probably will help them not make those mistakes in more key situations.
Texas A&M, I don't know how much you watched of their game with Clemson. It was a game where Clemson had Texas A&M on the ropes and just didn't put them away and allow A&M to have hope there in the fourth quarter. When you have a team like that down, you better keep them down, and they certainly showed. And it certainly helped the Aggies knowing that they had the home crowd behind them as well on that Saturday night. Alabama favored by almost 4 touchdowns in this game on Saturday afternoon. What does Alabama have to do as far as to make sure Texas A&M doesn't have any hope as far as going into the second half?
I think what Alabama has to do is limit A&M's offense. Clemson did it for quite a while, but I think in the end A&M ended up with more total yards and stuff like that. They had those last two or three possessions where a lot of that happened. They figured out something that worked. They threw some 50-50 balls that they won, and I think they have to do that to play with Alabama. But, you know, I think A&M's number one in total offense in the country, and Alabama's number one in it's like a bizarro world. Alabama's number one in offense and not number one in defense. But I think Alabama just needs to do the biggest thing is to stop Travion Williams from having a big game. Load up on the run and make sure if you can defend the run with seven in the box, I think you got a good chance of doing what you want to do. If you can't, then you don't have to outscore them.
As far as
Alabama's certainly capable of outscoring people.
How many questions a week do you get about the kicking game as far as place kicking for Alabama?
I don't get a lot of questions about it because I think people know they've seen the only two kickers that you're going to see. So you know, my theory is that the football gods just said, look, enough, Alabama. You can't be the best at everything. You're just going to have to find a way to win without a kicker. You know, they've got the number one kicker in the country, prospect, you know, committed to come in next year. And I feel so sorry for the guy. He has no idea if the curse works on him like it has on.
They may build a statue in his honor if he, because, you know, look, Florida State for years during that run where they had the 14 straight years of top five finishes, for the first five plus years of that, they didn't have a you know, a dependable kicker as well. And finally, Bobby Bowden went out and got, as you know, what Alabama did, the number one kicking prospect. In fact, he was on the cover before kicking one single play for Florida State. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And what happens? He kicks the winning field goal for the national championship against Nebraska that year.
Yeah, and I think Alabama would take that. But, you know, I kid. I'm sure the guy's a real good player. I've never seen him kick. But, you know, That has been their Achilles, and I have been, you know, people have brought it up. I don't know if they ask me about it. People ask me who is going to be the starting quarterback. They haven't asked me, you know, what's Alabama going to do about kicker. It's the hardest thing to project, I think, you know, of all the positions coming out of high school. You know, you can certainly look at their legs and everything, but kicking is so much more a mental thing. And you see the same thing in baseball. You know, every spring, if you really pay attention to spring baseball, there's some guy that's on a team, and he comes out for two innings in the middle, and he's throwing 103 miles an hour. And you're saying, why has this guy been on five teams? And then you realize that after he walks four straight guys and then gets up a home run. It's like, yeah, if he could throw strikes that people couldn't hit, then he would have been on one team and be making a lot of money. And that guy goes to some other team at the end of the spring because he never makes the roster, or he goes and pitches a little more minor league. But you know, it's a mental thing, and you got to have the mental stability. You know, kickers are a little different, I think, and I think we all know that, and they have more pressure on them than probably everyone, because I understand one of the kicks that Alabama missed in the first game was a terrible hold, terrible snap hold thing, but nobody looks at that. They just said he didn't make the kick. So, you know, there's more components to it than that, but, you know, Alabama has managed to overcome situations where kicker mattered and make it not matter. So I expect they, you know, if they have to kick, they can always let Tua throw it. So,
you know, and that's the thing. If you keep scoring 50 or more points, it's not going to matter. The big question will be if Alabama ever gets in a situation where third, fourth quarter, all of a sudden now they're facing a little adversity. But, you know, there's no guarantee that way they're playing right now that they'll ever experience that this year.
No, but they certainly did last year. You know, they missed a kick to win it at the end of regulation against Georgia. And I think one of the reasons they called the play after the big sack and overtime was because they were now behind the chains and didn't have a lot of confidence that they could kick a 40 or 40 whatever yard field goal, you know, which Georgia did at the end of, boy, they've got a kicker.
Yes, they do.
You know, I'll tell you what, Alabama's probably got a 4-star or something on their roster that they would trade straight up for Blankenship. But he's good. He's as good as I've seen, and he handles pressure really, really well. But, you know, Alabama probably was in a position of four down territory because they just didn't have a lot of faith that they could kick a field goal, I would guess, in that situation, especially after a 16-yard loss from the 25. You know, so they said, you know, let's go for it. And that actually played into them winning the game because that was not like I'm throwing it deep because that route was designed to throw it deep. You know, there was no doubt when he faded back, he was thinking end zone.
Tommy, as always, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Remind the listeners again how they can keep up with all your coverage of the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, we're on TideSports.com, as in Crimson Tide. We cover Alabama football, daily practice reports, recruiting roundups, all that kind of stuff.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thank you.